Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts, Dana Osband, here with my friend Chavruta and Gordon. Our daf today, Masecha Bava Metzia, daf Lamed Vav, page 36. The Gemara here brings up the discussion or the case of a shomer who basically transfers the object that they're supposed to watch to another shomer without telling the owner and what the consequences of that transfer is. Itmar, it was said, I'm in the kind of middle top of Amud Aleph here. Shomer shemasar l'shomer. So a custodian that transfers a deposit, right, a pikadon, to another custodian. And the idea is it's without the owner's permission. Rav Amar Patur. Rav says the first custodian is exempt basically from any liability they would have for the loss, even if that he would have had he been guarding the object himself. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev. And Rabbi Yochanan says he is obligated, right, even, you know, to pay for whatever loss there is, because he himself should have been watching the pikadon. So the Gemara goes on to explain this a little more. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, Latame de Rav, right? According to Rav's reasoning, Lom Abaye Shomer Chinam, Shemasar L'Shomer Schar, right? You don't need to say whether it was an unpaid custodian that transferred the pikadon to a paid custodian, right? Who is, because a paid custodian, remember, wouldn't be liable for unavoidable loss. Da'ale lishmirato, because he actually upgraded the watching. In other words, going from a shomer chinam to a shomer schar is considered to be a better watch. Ella afila shomer schar shemasar l'shomer chinam. Rather, Rav's case is about a paid custodian that transfers the pikadon to an unpaid custodian. De'garure gara lishmirato, right? That sort of the watching status is diminished, right? Because we know that a shomer chinam is not as, there's a different, isn't going to watch it as well as the Shomer Schar, right? And so then the question is, why would he be Patur, right? In that case, he's exempt from an unavoidable loss. My Taima, what's the reason that, Dehamasar Levendat, because he gave it to a mentally competent individual, right, who could have safeguarded the article, the Pikadon. So even though it was unauthorized to transfer this, right, that unauthorized transfer is not per se a negligent act, right? And so the first shomer basically still stays, liable as he was before. The second shomer is just like his shaliach and isn't his replacement. So if the second shomer doesn't watch the pikadon well, it's as if the first shomer didn't do it. And therefore, the first shomer has to take responsibility, and he is chayav to the owner, okay? And he basically should be sort of like chayav to the owner, okay? And then he goes on to say, ulatame de Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning, loma vaya shomer schar shemasar l'shomer chinam, right? It's not necessary to say that a paid custodian transferred a pikadon to an unpaid custodian, because he diminished the watching of the object. Rabbi Yochanan's point is that even an unpaid custodian that transferred it to a paid custodian, right, which upgrades the watching, he's obligated to pay for the loss, because the owner can say, because I didn't want that my pikadon would be with somebody else. And so therefore, the transfer is actually considered to be a negligent act, right? So it's basically like the owner basically said to the first shomer, right, that, transferring this pikadon to somebody else, the first shomer is actually liable for any loss because he says, I wanted you to actually watch it. So again, so the difference here is that the first shomer, in according to Rav, is not going to be chayav because he transferred it to somebody competent, right? It's a person who's competent, and he should be able to watch it. And it's not an act of negligence, that transferring. Where Rabbi Yochanan, according to Abaye, would say, even if it goes up to a higher status, right? It's a shomer chinam to a shomer schar, the owner is allowed to say, I didn't want someone else to watch it, and therefore the first owner is going to be chayav. Okay, now the Gemara is going to explain this a little bit more, right? I'm a Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, Had the Rav lo beferish itmar. The opinion of Rav was not said explicitly. Ela mikla. Rather, it's by implication, right? And why is it? Because they're going to give another ruling of his. Dehainu ginai. There was a case of gardeners. Dehol yamahave mefakte marihu gaba dehaku sapta. Every day they would deposit their hose with a elderly woman for safekeeping. Yomachada afkidnihu legabi chad minihu. One day they gave the hose with one of their own instead. They didn't give it to the old woman. They gave it to one of the other workers. Shmakala be hilula. And then the gardener heard the sounds of like some kind of celebration coming from a wedding hall. Nafak azel afkidnuhu legabi dehaku sapta. He leaves for the hall, and on the way, he went and he gave the hose to the elderly woman. So in other words, the person who was watching the hose, right? Normally the hose were watched by this woman. Someone else is watching the hose. He hears something else going on. He wants to go check it out. So then he gives the hose to this elderly woman. And what happens? Azal ba'ata ignuv marahu, right? And before he was able to go to the wedding and return, right before he gets back, he finds out the hose were stolen. Ata lakame de Rav upatrehu. The gardener came before Rav, and Rav basically said he didn't need to pay. Man dechaza sabar. So one of the students that saw this thought that the gardener was pator. Mishum shomer shemasar l'shomer pator. Because Rav holds that a custodian who transfers a pikadon to another custodian is going to be exempt. And so that's why they think. So it's not that Rav gave an explicit ruling. They're making this on the basis of a case that they saw that Rav gave a ruling. And so Rav Chisda actually doesn't like this interpretation. Velo ki, right? He says, is it not so? Shani hata, maybe that situation with the hose is different. To chol yom anami, for every day as well, inhu gupiyahu gaba dahahi sapta have mefkade luhu. The other gardeners with themselves have given the hose with that elderly woman. In other words, you can't say that they wouldn't want her to watch their hose because they normally give it to her. But when the pikadon is given to a second shomer who the omer hadn't actually ever given his trust to, Rav maybe would agree that the first shomer gets some liability, you know, actually would have liability for any loss. And that this actually was a unique case because the second shomer was somebody who they've already established that there was trust with. From here, the Gemara is going to challenge Rabbi Yochanan's opinion from Mishnah, and they're going to give a couple of challenges to that. That will take us to the next stop. I'm not going to read all of that. On Amud Bet, they're going to, get to, Rav is going to give an opinion, okay, what the halacha actually is for a shomer shemasar l'shomer. But I think it's a very interesting case. Again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and when we were talking about like lending a car or an animal, it just kind of seems wild that somebody would do this, but you could see situations where this would happen, right? Let's say you were watching something and, you know, you had an emergency, you needed to leave, something came up. And so you give it to somebody else and say, I need you to watch this, and something happens to the object. And so I could see how this is actually a very practical halakha question.
Especially within a community, right? I feel like in a situation where people in a big city, let's say, you don't have that same kind of like, you take care of this for me while I go run and do something else. Would you really give something over to be watched? Would you even know if you could trust that person? You know, it would be a bigger concern. It might be a bigger concern than running off, than to go take care of something else.
Right. Whereas, like you could see, you need to take care of something. So you say to your neighbor, I need you to watch this for me. Yeah, I totally could see how this happened. And I think it's a great question that the Gemara is trying to explore.
Okay, I'm going to pick up on Amud Bet. We have here, it's a machloket amoraim, it's a dispute amongst the amoraim. Itamar pashaba vayatzat la'agam. So we have the case of a person who is safeguarding an animal and was negligent, and the animal went into the lake or a marsh, however you want to translate an agam, umeta kidarka. And there it dies in a way that is reasonable for the animal to die, meaning not clearly because of the negligence, it ends up in the marsh or in the lake, and that's because and there it dies. Abaye mishmei d'Rabba amar chayav, Rava mishmei d'Rabba amar patur. So now we have Abaye and Rava, who are very often in dispute with each other, right? I meaning throughout Shas, and they are both the students of Rabbah, although Rabbah is really closer, I guess, with the Abaye Rabbah, the previous generation, is closer than Rava and Rabbah. But here we have both of them saying in the name of their teacher, Rabbah, a different opinion. Namely, in this case where the animal went into the, after negligence, the animal goes in, or because of negligence, the animal ends up in the lake and then it dies. Abai says that according to Rabbah, the Shomer would have to pay, and Rabbah says that the Shomer would be exempt. So now we have to understand, the Gemara has to understand, why do they have a different take on the same exact case from the same exact teacher? Meaning you can't say it's a different thread of interpretation or not so easily. Abai Mishmei de Rabbah Amar. So Abai says in the name of his teacher, Rabbah, Chayav kol Diana dolo da'in ki hai dina lav Diana hu. He says the Shomer, the guardian, is liable to pay, and any judge who does not rule in accord with this halacha is not considered a judge. Meaning it's a very sharp statement to say, you're not even on the map if you don't understand that this particular Shomer would be liable to pay. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on, Lo ba'ina lamanda amar tchilato b'pshia v'sofo ba'ones chayav t'chayav. The Gemara says, you don't even have to say that this is the kind of case where the person says that if the beginning of the case happened through negligence and the end of the case happened by accident, right? Because that's the death here, that case ends up with a liability, with a required payment, because dechayav, because it's obviously the Shomer's obligation to pay. You don't even need to go through that rationale, which of course the Gemara has just given us. Ela afilu lamanda amar patur, hacha chayav. Abaye's take is, even according to the one who says that in the beginning, where the case is the beginning of is negligence and the end is onus, is an accident, even if you say that in those cases, as a norm, you would be exempt, the Shomer would be exempt from paying, in this case, he would be chayav, he would be liable to pay. Maitama, why daminan havla da agama katla? The heir of the marsh, the heir of the lake, I think of Agama's lake, but I think it's more accurate marsh in this context, because the air of the marsh kills the animal, meaning the negligence is what leads to the death of the animal, but it's not actually what kills the animal. It's not, but because of that negligence, the animal ends up in the situation by which it ends up dead. So had there been no negligence, presumably the animal would not be in the marsh. Rava, we're now going to see the other side of the dispute. Rava Mishmei de Rava Amar Patur, the same very sharp statement. Anybody who assesses this case, judges this case in the opposite way from what I'm saying, is not really a judge. It's, you know, very, very sharp statement. You know, you don't even count. It says you don't even have to say. It's exactly the mirror image of the language, right? Of the rationale. You don't even have to say that according to the one who says that the beginning is with negligence and the end is with an accident, that the person is exempt, because it's because in this case the exemption is so obvious you don't even have to give that rationale, which again the Gemara has just provided. Ella afilu damar chayav. Rather, even according to the one who says that that same case of the beginning it being negligence and the end being an accident, even according to the person who says that case leads to a liability to be obligated to pay, haka pator. But in this case, the guardian would be exempt from paying. Why? Maitama da amrinan malacha mavet malihaka o malihatam. So, we'll come to the malihaka in a moment, but it says it's the angel of death. Meaning there's nothing that the negligence brought about, because the angel of death would find that animal wherever, right? That's the basic line, you know, death by natural causes is not anybody's fault. The fact that it had death by natural causes in a lake that it wouldn't have gotten to without the negligence is an interesting question, but according to Rava, it's also irrelevant. Mali hacho mali hatam. What's the difference there if the animal is here or there, meaning to the angel of death, what's the difference if the animal is, you know, under lock and key with the protective, not negligent guardian versus, you know, over there in the lake, in the marsh? Because either way, the angel of death is going to find the animal. Umode Abai de'i hadra levei mara umeta de patur. So Abai agrees, right? He kind of gives in. He says if the He says if the animal had come back from that marsh to the home and then died, then the shomer would be exempt. Meaning the fact that the negligence led the animal to go to the marsh, but then it comes home again, so then it would be exempt. My tama, why? What's the rationale? The hahadrala, it came back. And you don't have any reason to say that the water of the lake killed the animal. And likewise, Rava will agree. It's so beautifully laid out, right? All of the opinions exactly directly opposing each other. Rava says that if the animal had been stolen from the marsh and then it died in the home of the thief, then the shomer would indeed be obligated to pay. Why? Because if just because the e shav kamalach hamavet b'veitei de ganava havakayma, if just because the angel of death spared the life of the animal while in the lake or the marsh, nonetheless, you know, once it gets to the house of the thief, it only gets to the house of the thief because of the negligence of the shomer. So there too, Rava would be willing to agree, you know, in contrast to Abaye is willing to agree. And so they all end up, you know, kind of, I don't know, it makes a very nice, neat package of this machloket. And then the Gemara goes on with Rava and Abaye kind of asking each other to finalize or to review some extra questions. You know, Abaye has a question for Rava about the Malach HaMavet, right? And specifically about the Angel of Death. What the difference is here or there, how are you going to explain? And the Gemara goes on to explain more other cases. I'm mentioning this only to say that Rav and Abaye have not stopped this conversation in the neat package of it. What happens afterwards is a little bit less neat, and we're going to stop at this point in the interest of time. But just so you know that, you know, as much as the Gemara can present this as such a very even-handed dispute, when they really got down to it, again, they used very sharp language, and the Gemara keeps coming back to their different views here. I think that the question of who has to pay here is not a simple one, even though it's presented so cleanly.
No, I think it's a major disagreement. I also love how the Malach HaMavet like appears here out of the blue.
And for the animal.
Yeah.
I thought Malach HaMavet only comes for people, but I am wrong.
I think it's like a, I don't know, like sort of saying it's your time of death. Does that make sense? Like it's, but saying it in some sure. kind of like poetic way.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I don't have any idea truly whether Rava thought the Malach HaMavet meant an actual figure, you know, picture, I don't know, the ghost of Christmas, you know, Christmas
no,
past.
But type I of think thing. The idea is that it's natural. Like, in other words, animals will yeah. die too. And like, it's just, so the idea of the Malach HaMavet is, it's like, when is your natural time?
Right. But so my question is, did they have a clear image in mind when they talk about it in this way? Because right. they don't see natural causes. On the other hand, it also is kind of code. And we all know that that means, you know, it was your time. The Malach HaMavet is going to find you any which place.
That's our DAP discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this stuff on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.